Our Father, today we have turned our hearts toward you. We have assembled to worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray as we enter into this portion of the service that you would cause our hearts to be contemplative. Lord, help us to pay attention to the teaching of your word and to embrace it and to follow hard after it in obedience. We pray as we sing together this morning that our hearts would be joined together in truth. Lord, we pray that you would give us your blessing on this portion of the service. We know that we have been called to remember, and we need your help to focus on that very thing. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we enter into the portion of the service for the Lord's table, it's important for us to embrace the context of what's happening. Otherwise, we find ourselves just submitting to ritual or liturgy, something that becomes way too familiar and we take it for granted. When we consider the passages concerning the Lord's table, all of the Gospels speak to it. There is various perspectives on what happened that day. But it all began back in Exodus, when the children of Israel were in captivity. They were in slavery, living as their captors would have it, as if they were mere cattle to be driven about. But they were a people, and God sought to give them an identity. And they had experienced all of the trials of trying to convince Pharaoh that he should let the people of Israel go. They had experienced all of those curses, all of those tragedies that came upon those people. And yet it just hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And ultimately, the Lord dealt a very severe blow to those people. But at the same time, he gave his people great hope. And that was at the Passover. And they were given instruction at the Passover to prepare a meal that, from a nutritional perspective, was probably fitting them for the journey ahead. But one of the most prominent features of the Passover meal was the sacrifice of a lamb. And that blood went on the doorposts and the lintel, over the door and down the door on the sides. And it was a symbol to that angel that brought that judgment of God upon Egypt to pass over those people, to spare them that great loss. The meal was pretty specific. And in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, this qualifier was added to that direction. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast unto the Lord. throughout your generations as a statute, a law, a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. That was what the Lord and his disciples were doing in that upper room. After all those years, they were keeping a feast unto the Lord. They were having a celebratory meal. After the fashion of the day, they were reclining at the table and sharing this meal together. And certainly it was a celebration. And then the Lord did something odd. At the conclusion of the meal, it certainly would have got the attention of the disciples. He, at the conclusion of the meal, took bread and broke it and gave them instruction. And we will read that passage as we pass the elements of the Lord's table. But he broke that bread and passed it to them and said, "This is my body which will be broken for you. Take and eat it." And certainly the disciples were curious about what he was compelling them to do. "We've already eaten. Bread is not dessert. You know, we're doing something different here." He got their attention. And then he picked up the cup and he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you." And he passed it to them and he said, "Drink of it and drink all of it." And they passed that common cup around that table and they drank of that cup. And he said, "This do in remembrance of me." And what he was doing, he was introducing to them a parallel story, a story that was foreshadowed in the Passover meal that they had celebrated. There was a lamb that was slain. The blood was shed, and it protected them. And he said, "Now I'm going to be that lamb." And following that instruction and that time, they sang together. I can't imagine singing with the Lord. But they fellowshiped together in song. They joined their voices together and they sang something familiar from Scripture that had a familiar tune to it, and they joined their voices together and they sang. I can't imagine that all of the disciples had excellent voices. I mean, after all, they were fishermen. They were just men, after all. Have you ever been in a group of men and heard a bunch of men singing? But they sang together and they fellowshiped. And then the Lord led them off to the garden. And they prayed. And they slept. And the Lord prayed. And then he was taken captive and led away to his trial and crucifixion. All of that happened in short order. But the last direction that he gave to his disciples was, "Continue to do this in remembrance of me." Looking forward to when I will come again. And so that is our perspective this morning as we sing this communion hymn. We'll sing the first three verses of it. And it speaks to the significance of this. Following those three verses, we will pass the elements. I'll read some scripture and we'll pray. And then we'll conclude with singing the first and the last verse of this hymn. And that will be our communion.